You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Would you get tested for a fatal disease that you have 50% of inheriting from your parents? The disease in question is Huntington's disease, a genetic neurodegenerative condition that passes on from an affected parent. The probability for their children inheriting the disease is 50%, and it does not skip generations. The condition affects part of the brain from working properly over time, impacting movement, behaviour and cognition. It will become harder to walk, talk, reason and swallow for those who have the condition, and it is incurable. Journalist Lillian Hanley is facing the question in her new documentary, 50%, as her grandfather, the New Zealand artist Pat Hanley, and her biological mother all have the disease. You may remember Lillian as the former news director here at 95BFM. She spoke to Justin earlier today.
When we talk to a lot, I think it, on a lot of people's minds, when we talk about neuro disease, it's either Alzheimer's or Parkinson's that immediately jumps to the front of their mind. So kind of like, what's the difference between these other two and Huntington's?
Yeah. And I mean, it's funny you say that, because I think, yeah, that is true. There is a sort of a bit more knowledge maybe, or it's more talked about perhaps Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, whereas Huntington's is perhaps less well known. And I don't know what the reason is for that. And it's not to say one is worse than the other, really. Because, I mean, the way that I've been also colloquially described Huntington's is that it is Parkinson's and Alzheimer's put together. So, you know, we've got these neuro diseases or but the thing with Huntington's is that it not only affects you mentally, it affects you physically. So it sort of has elements from both Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. The difference, though, in the kind of, or again, the way that's been described to me as being a unique aspect of Huntington's, is that we understand what causes it. We cannot kind of isolate. We don't know where Alzheimer's or Parkinson's comes from. We can't point at a particular gene and say, right, that's what causes it. Whereas with Huntington's, you can. And that's because in 1993, they isolated the gene and were able to say, right, this is the gene, and it's called Huntington, but spelt differently, that if you have the mutation of that gene, that's what causes the symptoms, which we now call Huntington's disease.
And there's no cure for that?
Currently, there is no cure. So since 1993, because they were able to isolate the gene, a lot of work has been done and a lot of research has gone into this. It's exciting because there is something that we can point towards and say, right, what do we do with this thing? Whereas with Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, you can't point to something and say, right, this is the thing, you know, let's figure out how to get rid of it. With Huntington's, a lot of people are talking about how exciting that is. And actually, I mean, ideally, if there was a cure, or if there will be a cure to Huntington's at some point soon, it actually could help eventually towards those other neuro diseases. But for now, there's a lot of focus on Huntington's because, again, you can point to it. And the treatments or the cures that they're exploring are a lot to do with Huntington lowering. So actually targeting the protein that gene creates in order to reduce the protein or the amount of protein that it creates, because that's what does the damage. Those people with the mutation of the gene, their gene causes far more protein than normal. You need this protein to survive, but if you have the disease, it's causing far too much, and that's what causes the damage. So these possible cures or possible treatments would look at reducing that so that a person can live a sort of normal life and ideally die from natural causes rather than complications of the disease.
Right. And possibly in terms of New Zealand, has support for those who have Huntington's been enough? well, after you have done this documentary, and particularly your experiences with your family having the disease as well?
Yeah, I think, I mean, my experience, because I haven't taken the test yet, it means that I haven't kind of gone down that road yet, if that makes sense. I think that once you do take that test, or you go through the process of getting tested, there's a lot more things kind of kick into place as part of that health system and a part of the kind of supports or other things that are available to you. I guess one thing that might be missing, you could say, is whether there is mental health support or other kinds of support for younger people that you know, like me in this film, are going through a process of weighing up what the best choices are at the beginning of that process before we even take a step into the health system, if that makes sense. So I think in New Zealand, you know, there's a very strong Huntington's community. There's a lot of people you know, out there that are doing incredible work on this and have committed their lives to really kind of building awareness around this, doing scientific or medical research, and also towards just building a community around this so that there are spaces for people to talk or to question or to seek support. But certainly we could always do better.
I guess it's... glad you raised the issue of mental health, because must be difficult for families as well, from either having to live under the fact that everyone you know might have Huntington's disease, or having to take care of an older relative that has Huntington's.
Yes, absolutely. I think again, something that I tried to, I guess, show in the film is that you're sort of grappling with this thing, which at the moment for me is not really front and center. For other families, though, that is not the case. You know, for them, they may not have late onset, they might have early onset, which means that they're dealing with their symptoms much, much earlier in life. You know, I do have the ability right now to kind of unpack this decision in a way which takes time, I guess, whereas other people do not have that time. And you're dealing with not only the kind of threat in your own future, but you're dealing with family who might be affected by the disease, and you're dealing with the symptoms, you're dealing with, and again, so these are both physical, these are mental, they affect kind of all parts of yourself. And from young to old, you know, parents, children, partners, you're having to live with this disease is incredibly, incredibly difficult. Sorry. And it's different for each person. It's different for each family. So it manifests in different ways. That means that the kind of things that you're facing are different, and therefore you probably need quite different support, if that makes sense. You know, or kind of, it's in these instances where sort of a system that might work in one way isn't going to work for each person in the different ways that they need.
Is there any like more research done on how to cure Huntington's disease when you're looking, researching for this documentary?
Yeah. So, I mean, because we chose, I guess, to focus on the family, the choice, that particular moment, we didn't really include the research that we did around the science of it, but I would recommend everybody to kind of go and, if they can, do some googling around it, particularly the Centre for Brain Research that's based at Auckland University, and they have been instrumental over the years, or scientists involved in that centre have been instrumental in things like isolating the gene back in 1993, but also up till now. I think one of the projects that are going on is looking at the ways that sort of the loss of brain cells affects one's mood, and how you might, you know, unpack what that means in terms of Huntington's. I myself am not a scientist, so I'd like to just say that. And it's not going to be me that's able to sort of explain these things in the best way, but there are people that are working on things from, you know, how do we make people who already have this disease perhaps, or already are showing symptoms, how do we make them more comfortable? Are there treatments that we can use to reduce their movement for now, even if it doesn't actually cure or get rid of the disease entirely? So there's sort of those smaller things, while also out in the world there's things, massive things happening, like CRISPR, which is a gene editing tool, and there's sort of ethical issues around this. It's not been used, well, it's not supposed to be used on humans at this point. But people are pointing to it as quite a significant development, I guess, in the world of diseases, because the idea is that you would be able to edit your DNA, and that, I mean, that has huge ramifications. Probably, you know, we don't actually know what the consequences of that would be. If you cut out one of your genes in your DNA, or if you edited it, or if you replace it with something else, I mean, you know, we don't know what that would mean for your offspring perhaps, or we don't know if that would open a Pandora's box when it comes to, you know, selecting the perfect kind of child, or all these sorts of issues that we would grapple with. But in the sense that it may be a possible tool to actually just, you know, get rid of this disease, essentially, that in itself is very exciting for many people. So there's research absolutely underway all around, and people working on this in really, really incredible ways. Yeah.
Is this why you make this documentary? It's kind of let people know more about Huntington's, and might just let people know who are the people that are going through it.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, so because of my background or my work in journalism, and I sort of have this real love of talking to people, although I'd like to say that I'm much more used to asking the questions, and I find it very difficult talking. But I really like talking to people and understanding, you know, what goes through their mind or how they see the world. And so with this being something like this decision being something that I have to face myself and grapple with, I sort of thought, what better, you know, way of trying to display that to a wider audience perhaps, and show, you know, a wider audience what this group of people, what the Huntington's community is having to go through and grappling with that decision, but also, like you say, just the kind of the general aspects of, you know, a family approaching this disease. So the key thing was to try and show that there is this young generation who is not symptomatic. So, you know, whether they've been tested or not, there's a generation who are yet to start having symptoms. And that's not to say that actually, I mean, that's not everyone, right? You do have people who have juvenile HD, which means it kicks in much younger. Those symptoms begin much younger, and that means that they will die young, basically. So that in itself is the kind of horrific end of what we're facing with this. But you've got, yeah, this sort of the wider community, again, that's sort of basically just having to face this in all aspects or in all generations of their world. It's all kind of tainted by this thing wherever you might be. And so this film is sort of just a snapshot of my moment in time in regards to that journey.
Nonetheless, this is a very personal topic, not only for you, but for a lot of people you know and your family and friends. How long did it take for you to decide, I'm running a documentary on Huntington's disease and how it affects my family?
Yeah, it is very personal. And like I said, I have constantly kind of thought about this decision and been intrigued at the way that different people approach that decision. So if for me, it was something that I really, really wanted to explore and hoped would be useful. In terms of my family being a part of that, and for me exposing myself in my own journey, I think these stories, I guess, are hard to come by. You don't often get people who are willing to talk about diagnoses like this, particularly with Huntington's, that can affect your work opportunities or stigma around it, all of these sorts of things. So it's quite hard. I do find that because my mum spoke about the disease a lot to me growing up, sort of, you know, making me aware of the fact that it was a thing in our family, what it meant for her, you know, how it may or may not affect me, what I was sort of facing as being someone who was at risk. All of these things were stuff that we openly talked about in my family, and my mum was really, I feel like she sort of prepared me in that sense to kind of be able to open up about it. I sort of have spoken about it as a way of like her neutralizing the power of the disease over her in order for her to define what that meant for her. And so for me, I guess this was my way of doing that as well, and trying to take a stance perhaps, or even just place myself in this in a way that, you know, I get to define my role in it. I get to define my journey. And I guess just hoping that putting that out into the world would be something, or acknowledging that perhaps maybe other people were wanting to have this conversation as well. And yes, I don't know, I think it's a scary thing to do, and it still feels a bit surreal, but I guess if it does help at least even one other person, then I'm glad.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. Support 95 BFM with a B card. Go to 95bfm.com/signup.